Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and we have a packed show today.
We definitely do. We're looking at humanoid robots officially joining the automotive assembly line and exploring whether an AI can actually write a copyrightable book.
I'm still trying to process the fact that people are using AI to generate entire nonfiction manuscripts for just $10. It sounds like the ultimate shortcut, but as we'll see, the legal system might not be too thrilled about it.
Right. And we're also going to dive into a critical feature request for Claude Code that highlights a major limitation in how autonomous coding agents manage their own memory. Lots to cover.
Let's get right into it. Our first story today marks the end of an era, or perhaps the beginning of a much more serious one, for the world's most famous robotics company. Hyundai Motor Group is officially buying out SoftBank's remaining stake in Boston Dynamics.
That's right. The board is expected to formally approve the purchase on June 26, 2021. Hyundai is paying $325 million for the final 9.65% stake, which will make Boston Dynamics a wholly owned subsidiary.
The financial mechanics here are actually pretty interesting. This transaction is happening because SoftBank is exercising a put option they retained during the initial acquisition back in 2021. Back then, Hyundai bought an 80% stake in a deal that valued the company at $1.1 billion.
And if you extrapolate the math on this final $325 million payment for just under 10%, it implies the valuation has roughly tripled since 2021. That's a massive jump. But it also reflects a fundamental shift in what Boston Dynamics actually does.
Exactly. For the longest time, Boston Dynamics was known as the company that made incredible viral YouTube videos of hydraulic robots doing backflips, but they struggled with commercialization. They were owned by Google, then SoftBank, and neither could quite figure out how to turn those impressive demos into a profitable product line.
Hyundai seems to have cracked that code through sheer vertical integration. They aren't just trying to sell robots to third parties. They are building the robots to work in their own factories. The plan is for the new electric Atlas humanoid to begin working at Hyundai's Meta plant in Georgia by 2028.
That 2028 timeline is key. They are specifically targeting tasks like parts sequencing on the automotive assembly line. It completely changes the risk profile of the robotics company when your parent company is also your guaranteed biggest customer.
It's the exact same playbook we're seeing from Tesla with the Optimus robot. You use your own massive manufacturing footprint as the sandbox to prove the technology and achieve economies of scale. By removing SoftBank entirely, Hyundai no longer has to justify its long-term robotics roadmap to an external shareholder.
It does make you wonder if this vertical integration model is the only viable path forward for humanoid robots right now. The R&D costs are so astronomical that you almost need a parent company with deep pockets and an immediate internal use case to justify the investment.
I think it is, at least for this decade. General-purpose humanoids are incredibly difficult to deploy in unpredictable environments. But a car factory? That's highly structured. If the electric Atlas can reliably handle part sequencing in Georgia by 2028, that $325 million buyout is going to look like a bargain.
Moving from hardware to software, we're seeing a massive surge in platforms promising to automate one of the most labor-intensive tasks out there, writing a book, specifically nonfiction manuscripts.
Platforms with names like Teneo and iVolute are marketing themselves as end-to-end solutions. The pitch is that you can bring them a nonfiction idea and they will spit out an Amazon KDP-ready manuscript. Teneo, for instance, is offering this for an entry price of just $10 for your first book.
$10 to ghostwrite a book. They claim to use a human-in-the-loop system that leverages multiple frontier models behind the scenes, including GPT-4, Claude, and Gemini. But this is opening up an absolute minefield when it comes to copyright law.
That's the biggest hurdle. Legal experts and industry professionals are sounding the alarm because in the United States, copyright protection strictly requires human authorship. You cannot copyright a book that was primarily generated by an AI.
These platforms lean heavily on the human-in-the-loop angle to try and skirt that issue. The argument is that the user is providing the prompt, the structure, and the editing, which constitutes human authorship. But the U.S. Copyright Office has been pretty clear that just writing prompts is not enough to claim ownership of the resulting text.
And beyond the legal gray area, there's the issue of quality and trust, especially in nonfiction. Nonfiction readers expect authority, lived experience, and factual accuracy. We know that these models are prone to hallucinations, where they will confidently fabricate citations and facts.
Right. If you're using a $10 AI service to write a book on, say, medical history or financial planning, a fabricated citation isn't just an oops moment. It completely destroys the credibility of the author and could potentially expose them to liability.
It creates this weird dynamic where the speed of automated generation is fundamentally at odds with the required accuracy of the genre. You might save 3 months on drafting, but you'll have to spend 4 months fact-checking every single claim the AI made, just to make sure you aren't publishing hallucinations.
It feels like we're approaching a point where the market will be flooded with these $10 AI manuscripts. The challenge won't be writing a book. The challenge will be convincing readers that your book was actually written by a human who knows what they're talking about.
Let's stick with the AI theme, but look at it from a developer's perspective. There's a fascinating discussion happening on the Anthropic GitHub repository regarding Claude Code, their agentic command line tool.
Specifically, we're looking at issue 18027, which requests native visibility into context window usage. Basically, developers are asking for Claude to have a fuel gauge so it knows when it's about to hit its memory limit.
The core problem right now is that Claude Code has no programmatic access to its own context consumption. Because it operates by reading local files and maintaining a long conversation history, it frequently hits context window limits during complex coding tasks.
And when it hits that limit, the failure mode is really frustrating. Users hit what they call unpredictable walls. The tool will just stop mid-implementation or mid-thought, forcing the user to manually intervene with a /compact or /new command to clear the memory.
It completely breaks the flow. The issue tracker is full of duplicates, confirming this is a widespread pain point, including issues 2750 and 2847. Developers are arguing that this lack of self-awareness fundamentally changes the tool from a collaborative agent into something that requires constant manual babysitting.
The proposed solution is pretty elegant. They want to expose the context usage, either as a percentage or a raw token count, as a system variable or a tool that the model can query. This would allow the AI to autonomously manage its own context.
Exactly. If Claude knows it's at 90% capacity, it could proactively summarize its progress, document its current state, and hand off the work to a fresh context window without the user ever having to intervene.
It raises an interesting question about whether this is a hard technical limitation of the current API or just a deliberate design choice by Anthropic to keep the agent's system prompt as lean as possible.
Whatever the reason, if they implement this, it could enable a whole new class of autonomous, multi-phase coding agents. We're talking about agents that can reliably handle massive, repository-wide refactoring jobs over hours or days, simply because they finally know how to manage their own memory.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick.
I've got a mix of space industry consolidation, 5 billion-year-old stardust, social network architecture, and some deeply cursed web development.
Canadian firm MDA Space is acquiring Blue Canyon Technologies from RTX, formerly Raytheon, in a $620 million all-cash deal. Blue Canyon brings over 400 employees and 2 manufacturing facilities in Colorado. This is a massive play by MDA to aggressively expand into the U.S. defense market. Blue Canyon has a flight heritage of over 85 launched spacecraft, so MDA is basically buying their way into existing U.S. government customer relationships.
Researchers analyzing the famous Murchison meteorite, which fell in Australia in 1969, have identified pre-solar silicon carbide grains that are between 5 and 7 billion years old. That means they predate the formation of our solar system.
It's literally ancient stardust, formed in the outflows of dying stars. It's wild to think we have microscopic time capsules on Earth that can give us a direct timeline for star formation in the Milky Way long before our sun even existed.
Someone has ported the 1996 game Quake to run entirely in a web browser without using WebGL or Canvas. CSS Quake uses the Pauly CSS 3D engine to render the environments using HTML and CSS Matrix 3D transforms.
It's a complete hack on top of hacks, forcing CSS to handle 3D game rendering. It's a brilliant technical demonstration of how far the modern web stack can be pushed, even if it's the absolute worst tool for the job.
Dan Abramov published a piece explaining that the concept of server instances does not apply to the AT protocol. He calls instances a Mastodon-brained concept, noting that AT Proto separates user data hosting from application aggregation.
It's an important architectural distinction. With AT Proto, your data lives on a personal data server, while app views aggregate it. You can switch apps or hosts without losing your identity, making it function much more like the open web than a bundled server instance.
That's all for today's briefing. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more tech news. Catch you then.